I said, Bob, what a day, a year, a life it is. You know, well, you know, you have it coming to you. Now there's not a lot I can do.
Well, welcome to the Situation Report. It's January 8th, 2025, and Los Angeles burned to the ground last night. I think most of it did anyway. If it didn't, then it's probably well on its way. And there's lots of reports today about insurance being canceled in specific areas of Los Angeles. I don't know how much of that's true, but 2025 is not disappointed. Just in the last 24 hours, it's been quite interesting. And the conversation. So my phone blew up today about Canada and Greenland and a number of other different associated noisy topics. And I've been shitposting on Twitter all day because it's not only irresponsible and highly stupid to say that we want to merge with Canada and take over Greenland. It's distraction. And you know, there's a lot of theories on it. I listened to Luongo and Alex Craner talking about it. And their theory is that this is a dick waving contest between the European elites, the global homos, and the East Coast bankers. I'm not sure how much of that I buy. And I'm not sure how much of that I think I believe in, but their theories are pretty interesting. It's Tom Luongo's Guns Gold and I can't think of his podcast. I'll post it in the comments section after the show. And then I did the Sean Newman podcast yesterday. We did about an hour and 20. And he asked me, you know, what do you think of the whole Canadian, Canada-US merger? So let me start with that, because there's a lot to unpack there. First of all, I think it's noise. I don't think there's ever a chance of that happening. I don't see the Canadian people signing up for that. I don't see anybody in Canada signing up for that for a variety of reasons. But my biggest issue with that is it's irresponsible just for him to say it. Even if it's a troll, even if it's not true, it's massively irresponsible for an incoming president to say that you want to take over your neighbors and merge countries and take over another country through force. That's grossly irresponsible. Not only diplomatically, militarily, strategically, it's grossly irresponsible. And then to have Don Jr. on the ground in Greenland posting pictures of himself and Charlie Ward, or Charlie Kirk, I think that's who was with him. That's grossly irresponsible for a variety of reasons. And it stands to reason that if you're going to go down that road, both diplomatically and strategically, you should have a very, very foolproof plan, as well as an information campaign, to convince both populations that it's a good idea and it's in their best interest. But given the last 4 years of this regime, and then the previous 4 years, I want to remind everybody that Trump gave BlackRock control of U.S. assets back in 2018, maybe it was 2017. So that's part of the globalist agenda. If you look at the macro picture of this, this fits the Agenda 2030 geographic economic zones. It fits it to a T. And the fact that he's even talking about before he's taken office is massively irresponsible. Because the one thing we need right now, especially in North America, is somebody coming in and setting the moral compass for the rest of the continent. We haven't had a moral compass in over 5 years. And now this is what you want to come in with. We're not only going to take over our neighbors, we're going to use economic force. And then we're going to use military force to take over Danish Greenland. Yeah, that makes sense. And the other side of that, too, is that when you look at this strategically, the strategic aspect of this that nobody's talking about is, let's say for argument's sake, let's say that, I know it should have been Charlie Ward, because it would have been more fucking believable, right? Just for argument's sake, let's say that he does go ahead and make this happen, which I don't think there's a snowball's chance in hell that that's going to happen. But all of that culture, and this is the way it works. I said this on my Substack. So if you listen to my Substack update today, then bear with me. Anytime you merge companies, the first thing you do is you take all the old, the culture and the company tech from the other company that you've acquired and you're merging with, and you standardize it to your technology. That's what you're supposed to do. Some companies do that. Some companies don't do that. But most of the time, you integrate their technology with yours, and you make it one flat network. In this case, what would be lost? 270 years, 280 years of Canadian history would basically be rewritten in a decade. You would not recognize Canada in any form after 10 years in the U.S. And I say that because of how much U.S. history they've rewritten in the last 50 years, in the last 10 years, and how much U.S. history is being rewritten on Wikipedia by the liberals that say we're racist and have bought into the whole color revolution narrative. That's what would happen. And then there's a whole list of terrible shit that would come out of that I'm not even sure I want to think about. First of all, Canada's too big to be a 51st state. That's stupid and ludicrous. Secondly, even if we wanted to integrate with Canada, the other issue comes to mind is the CCP is heavily, heavily invested in Canada. They have troops on the ground protecting critical infrastructure. So you don't just take over the country and say to the CCP, we're nationalizing all your shit, get the fuck out. I mean, I would love to say that to them here, but I don't see diplomatically how we could do that when China owns a good portion of our debt. And then there's the piece of the crown. The only good part of this, literally the only good part of this, is that you would separate Canada from the fucking Dumbo Weird, pedophile, King Chucky, and the Windsor family. And you would break those ties permanently, which to me wouldn't be a bad thing. But that's the only thing that would be beneficial. Everything else about Canadian history, Canadian culture would vanish in a decade. And to me, it's not worth it. Now, is Canada woke? Yes. Is Canada, you know, dependent on socialized healthcare? Yes. Is there going to be pain along the way? Absolutely. Do we want to institute American values? You know, the values where every one of our political elite establish money streams and revenue streams and the resources and sell off the resources of their country and as well as our country at the same time? No. So we can just look at it from the aspect of culture, from the economic. Guess who's going to benefit from it? It's not going to be the have-nots. It's going to be the have-yachts. And they're already getting richer. And they're probably already dividing up Greenland for who's going to get which resources. That's how this game's played. So even if it was real, there's so many aspects of it that just scream oligarchs and, you know, the elite are going to benefit from this and everybody else is going to suffer. I don't see how that's a win-win. I don't see that's a win for anybody except for rich assholes. And for Trump to even suggest it, it's so irresponsible. I can't even put it into words how irresponsible that is from a diplomatic standpoint. And if you go back to Woodrow Wilson or even Teddy Roosevelt, you know, when we dealt with Latin America and South America, and Teddy Roosevelt sent troops, he sent troops everywhere. There was discussions we should just take over those countries. But he always came back to the same thing. And that was, our greatest strength is not in installing regimes in countries that favor our businesses. It's building stronger democratic governments across all of North America and South America so that we can trade with them and we can build industry in those specific areas that have the resources. That was his stance on a lot of different things. And he was an interesting dude just to start with. And if we would have followed through with the things he actually said we should do versus what businesses actually did in third world countries, the entire Central American plain and South America would be completely vastly different countries. But like the U.S., most of Central and South America are owned by rich elite families that have ruled that place for generations, and they haven't really changed anything because it's beneficial to them. And if we merge with Canada, then we have to merge with Mexico. Do we really want to merge with a narco state? Do we really want to have to deal with the cartels and send troops down there to occupy and clean up the place? And that's just the criminality. That's not anything to do with the infrastructure that's in Mexico or any of the other issues that are systemic in Mexico, not to mention the culture. And we're just going to take over both places and everything's going to be fine. You're talking about 3 to 5 decades to integrate those societies and get them to a place where they're on par with the rest of North America. And I don't see a reason to do any of that. What we need to do, what is most important for the U.S. right now, is to rebuild our industry, rebuild our infrastructure, rebuild our local state and local government, rebuild our communities, and put people here back to work, and then push at the same time, have all of these illegals either self-select out or be pushed out, because we don't force them to integrate in our society. Our stance should be, you have 12 months to learn English and to learn American values. And if you can't do that and you hang on to your own values, your whole fucking community goes. And I'm speaking specifically to the Somalis and the Ethiopians and some of the others that Obama brought in here and put into communities in mass that have established their own little Somalias. No, you integrate to our society. You integrate to American values. You pledge your allegiance to the U.S. Constitution or you fuck off. And that might sound draconian, but we should give them the opportunity to self-select out. And if they don't, they integrate or they get forced out. Because mass deportation is a joke. How are you going to do that? You're going to send store troopers into every single city and round people up and put them on a bus and send them back through the valley of hell that they came through to get here? No, I don't think so. There's just too many systemic things that you have to fix before you could even have that conversation logically. And the fact that it's in the public consciousness and it's soaking up so much attention right now tells me it's nothing more than distraction, but it's irresponsible distraction. And I don't want to hear this nonsense about 3D chess and fog of war. Fuck that. This is irresponsible. We need an adult at the steering wheel of the country. If you want unity in this country, this is not how you do it. We need a diplomat. We need a fucking parent. We need somebody that knows how to be an adult at the wheel. And this is not how you do that. And, you know, Doug McGregor had a great meme today. He posted this on Twitter, and I responded to it because I thought it was brilliant. He said, after lengthy talks with a number of foreign governments, we recommend that U.S. forces prepare to invade Lower Slobovia, a small island nation in central Mediterranean off the coast of North Africa. Lower Slobovia controls the richest deposit of muscovium on the planet. There's a growing body of evidence that extraterrestrial ships have been extracting muscovium from the island for decades. More important, in sharp contrast to Greenland, Slobovia is semi-tropical, warm, and snow-free. Slobovians are also friendly, defenseless, and ready to jointly exploit the muscovian deposits. Based on discussions last night, Slobovian leaders recommend a few targets in the uninhabited interior of the island that the U.S. Air Force can attack without harming anyone prior to the official surrender of Slobovian forces. Slobovians are convinced that the U.S. aid package of $2 billion, the U.S. Army occupation forces can administer the economic development with the island with plenty of private contract support arranged by Congress. In sum, Slobovia, its people's resources await American conquest. I say we go for it. Best troll of the day. Absolutely the best troll of the day. And my response, I'm still laughing at it. I said, Doug McGregor forgot to add the aid package would provide ample resources for a reserve of tinfoil hats and neural blocking devices to prevent any alien mind control activities interfering with mining operations. The package will also allow for the creation and deployment of mobile neural blocking devices to protect workers and residents from any alien mind control or influence. Perfect. That was probably the best troll of the day. Genius. Absolute genius. So I got to hand it to Doug. That was I laughed about that all day long. That was too funny. But it shows you just how crazy things are right now, right? And how the narrative is being shaped in so many different areas. I would hope for our sake that all of this is just a ruse. Now, in contrast, the stuff with Elon Musk going after the UK and going after the European Union, I can tell you what that's all about. If I was a billionaire in his shoes and they censored my platform and forced me to censor people and were going to deplatform me across Europe and it cost me a lot of money, but not only revenue, I would go after him too. And I think that's what that's all about. He's going after him full court press and calling him out without calling him out. But he essentially called Keir Starmer a pedophile, and because he's not doing anything about the rape gangs. And that's a big issue over there. And that is, you know, that consumed part of the conversation today with the roundtable guys is we've all been putting our input in about not only the Greenland stuff, the Vegas stuff, but we're talking about the situation not only in the UK, but everything you're seeing in the UK right now. So if you watched any of the debate today in Parliament, yeah, it was all show. But one thing that was said that was very salient to both pawns in the game and the doctrine they've used over and over is they shame, part of the color revolution is to shame a culture into submission. You basically make them feel guilty for, they're trying to make us feel guilty for being white and for all the atrocities we committed and all the genocide we committed and the slavery and that we need to pay reparations. And then you introduce the diversity, equity, and inclusion nonsense, and you allow crime to run rampant. And then people become afraid to report crime because you use legislation to call, you know, real crimes, you call them hate crimes because you're an Islamophobe or you're a racist. And they literally came out today and said the quiet part out loud that people are afraid to report crimes because of the fact that they passed legislation that says if you call it a rape gang or grooming, you're Islamophobic or you're a racist. Literally, they passed laws in the UK for that. That's classic, right out of Pawns in the Game. And nobody even had any expectation that they were going to pass some kind of a, you know, authorization to do some kind of kangaroo inquiry into these rape gangs in the first place. The point of the exercise was Elon Musk generated so much public backlash across the planet that it forced Keir Starmer into holding those proceedings in the first place. And the best part about it is now he looks like a pedophile. You can't back away from it now. The fact that 300 and, you know, however many MPs, which I think stands for Major Pussy, I think they were all coerced into voting against it. And now the public sees it. And it's a brilliant move from an information perspective because you get the enemy to out themselves. It's a classic technique. Throw in some inflammatory comments that they can't help but respond to, and you're off to the races. I did it in the Everett Public School District about 6-7 years ago. A buddy of mine was running for the superintendent, and there was a bunch of, let's just say, liberal idiots and conservative idiots that were trying to run, and they were going to, you know, put a bunch of things into schools that were not real. And so I put some very, very finely crafted comments into both the Everett Herald as well as in the Seattle Times and a couple other papers that were directly targeted at them. They couldn't help themselves. And they responded to it, and it blew up their campaigns. Just classic information warfare. You get your enemy to implode. And that's what Elon Musk is doing. And I can tell you why he's doing it. He's doing it because it costs him money. It's probably that simple. And I hope for his sake, they bring the whole fucking corrupt temple down and bring the Windsors down with them. Because I could tell you that Jimmy Savile was good friends with King Chucky. And that is indicative of both Epstein and the rest. I talked about this yesterday on the Sean Ryan podcast or Sean Newman podcast. The interesting part of this whole discussion and the interesting part of the whole, I'm just going to say the whole debacle that is the Trump administration right now, is that we're seeing the system flooded with information. I told you this was going to happen. I told you they would flood the system with garbage information and you would have to sort this out. I think that a lot of this distraction by Trump is because he can't end the war in Ukraine and he can't get the neocons in DC to end the war. And he said he was going to end the war. And then today he said that not only are they going to look at the FBI involvement in January 6th, they're going to look at Hezbollah involvement. So you can see that Mossad is already, you know, got it by the balls and trying to push that narrative. And let me just say this to the Trump people, because I know you're listening. So let me just say this to you. That's not going to work. No matter how hard you try to push the whole Iran part of this and the whole Iranian, you know, aspect of January 6th, there's been too much research done by patriots to know exactly who pulled that off, that you're not going to get any mileage out of that. So just save yourself some time. And look, I know you made a deal to save all these treasonous fucks in Congress, but the American people know who committed treason. They know who perpetrated this, and they want to see justice. They want to see Pelosi and AOC and the squad and Chuck Schumer and Mitch McConnell and Judas Pence and the rest of the shitbags that put this on with the FBI. They want to see these people in prison. You can go scream Hezbollah in Iran until the cows come home. No one's going to buy into it. And you know why no one's going to buy into it? Because it's bullshit. We've done our own research. We know exactly who pulled this off. We know exactly how many FBI agents were there. We know exactly what their orders were. So just stop, okay? Just stop. Go back to your Israeli masters, your Zionist fucking ball lickers, and tell them that, hey, guess what? The American people are never going to buy that narrative because it's never going to happen. Nobody's going to war with Iran because of Israel. Get the fucking memo. My God, to bring that out in a press conference is the third irresponsible, stupid thing you've said in less than a week. Can you just be an adult and stop being a fucking retard? Could you just do that for me? Just for one day? My God. What a fucking retard. We're going to look at Hezbollah too. Yeah, they weren't here. You know what that tells me? And I might be way off base, but I really don't give a fuck if I am. That tells me that he made a deal with the shitbags in Congress not to prosecute anybody for January 6th. That's what that means. He made a deal with the fucking mob. Because all of those career politicians are mob bosses. Every single one of them. They have all placed key people throughout their states. And they have taken over the state apparatus to protect themselves and protect their revenue streams so none of them go to prison. And I'm convinced that's exactly why Nancy Pelosi left the country and had a surgery so she could negotiate not going to prison. And that's what it looks like when you negotiate not going to prison. They come up with some bullshit narrative and tie it to one person and say, this is the person that did everything. Look over here. Don't look over here at the massive fucking treason that's been going on for 40 or 50 years by career politicians. No. Look over here. This is the guy. This is the minion that's a minion of a minion that did all of this. That's what they're trying to do. And that we need, and this is why I sounded the drum and beat the drum on the entire narrative of Greenland, is that kind of irresponsible shit is not what we need right now. People need to hammer the shit out of him in social media for every one of these stupid events. The Vegas attack didn't add up. The NOLA attack didn't add up. Everybody needs to beat the shit out of him and say, we know it's the CIA. We know you know. And we know that you know that we know. You know? Get the memo. But instead of that, we see more of the same stupidity. And the good thing in our case right now is there's enough people awake that see right through this. I can tell you that so many people are seeing through this and so many people are responding to this. I guarantee you they're paying attention. There's AI that's collecting for him and he's watching what the public is saying. You know, I didn't talk about the Sarah Adams interview with Sean Ryan from the perspective of that. I think that's complete predictive programming because it is. That is complete predictive programming. And if she's not a CIA asset, I'd be hard pressed to say why she isn't. Because her narrative around Building 7, her narrative around Osama bin Laden, her narrative around the whole 9/11 piece is all CIA garbage. Everybody knows that was an inside job. Everyone. Everyone knows. Now people know that Building 7 came down independently of anything else. And there was no explanation for it. And look, I'm going to say this again, because I know there's people that are going to flame me over this. So I'm just going to say this in a way that I know it'll resonate. I'm a damn good pilot. I've landed airplanes in crosswinds. I've landed airplanes in weather conditions where I should have died. And I can tell you that I could not fly an airline into a building, especially the Pentagon, at 450 miles an hour. And that part of the Pentagon that was hit was literally, you have to fly down a hill, level out, and then hit the building. And it's a very small space. It's not even a half a mile. That airplanes don't respond that quickly that are that big at that speed. And I can tell you that even the best pilots, and I've talked to a lot of pilots about this, said the same thing. There's no way I could pull that off. That in and of itself is an indicator that that was bullshit. And that piece alone should wake everybody up and say, yeah, what really happened there? And somebody sent me both video and pictures of it a few years ago, and I didn't post it because I'm like, now's not the time. But now I'm starting to see why people are digging into things so deeply, because the more you dig into narratives, the more you dig into events, the more you realize it's all staged nonsense. And that's what we're seeing. We're just seeing staged event after staged event after staged event. And look, that might work for the Karens on the left that are lost and bewildered because they can't report their neighbors for not wearing a mask or throw people out of their house because they haven't gotten the vaccine. But for the rest of us, we see through it now. And that's their Achilles heel. I said almost 5 years ago now, their arrogance will be their undoing. And that's what we're seeing right now. We're seeing their arrogance undo almost everything they're doing. And that's going to continue. It's not going to stop. And the question that we have to ask is, do we need the system to collapse, or do we need the system to continue? And I would contest that we need the system to collapse under its own weight. And we need it to collapse in such a way that we can recover and rebuild without a civil war or without a revolution. And I don't know how that's precipitated, but that's what we need. Because the bankers need to be stripped of all of their ability to influence the markets, to manipulate the precious metals markets, to manipulate the stock market, because everything's manipulated. And we're seeing the downstream effects of that level of corruption. And I can tell you, I don't like the fact that Bill Gates is sniffing around the White House. I do not like that at all. I want that guy arrested and tried for crimes against humanity. And I don't get any indication that's going to happen. I don't get any indication that they're going to ban the mRNA vaccines. I don't get any indication that they're going to gut the NIH or the NIAID or the CDC or any of the others. Burks, Redfield, Fauci, they all need to go to prison for war crimes or for crimes against humanity, every single one of them. And that is indicative of a system that is protecting itself. And we can't allow that. The way that we continue to disrupt their operations is that we have to call out all of these bullshit narratives as we see them and beat the drum. And all of you should be tagging Trump. All of you should be tagging Hegseth. All of you should be tagging his administration for every stupid thing that you see. Every single time he posts something on Truth Social that is irresponsible and stupid, you should beat him into submission on social media. And the same with Elon, the same with Vivek, because they're watching our response. If they know they're never going to sell these narratives, I can tell you that they won't do them. Silence is what gives them the encouragement to continue with these stupid narratives. We have to nip that in the bud. That's exactly why I responded to this Canada and this Greenland thing. This is irresponsible and stupid. This is not who we are. This isn't who we are diplomatically. This isn't who we are as a sovereign nation. And this isn't who we are strategically. And you listen to all these talking heads, like Charlie Kirk today was saying, it's going to be better for you, Canada and Greenland, if you just get on board for the big win, and we'll export your resources and we'll make sure you're richer and we're richer. Yeah. Hate to break it to you, Charlie, but it doesn't always work out that way. Businesses go in there and lay a little industry on them. And guess what? Toxify the environment, pull a bunch of money out, and then leave. I don't see how it's good for anybody. And we don't need any more rich assholes like Jeff Bezos or Bill Gates or anybody else exploiting resources and taking bag loads of money out of there. You know, in the South, they used to call them carpetbaggers, because that's what this is. It's a bunch of carpetbaggers going up to Canada and into Greenland and stealing all the resources. That's all this is. It is nothing more. And every time that you talk about it, it's the same thing. Just parroting the same talking points of the rich assholes. That system needs to die. And it needs to die a loud, grotesque military death. To the point where Jamie Dimon and Larry Fink and all the rest of these rich assholes that have spent their life living an affluent life, manipulating the system to their advantage, that needs to go away. They need to live in poverty. And Chuck Schumer said today on the floor, he said, you know, Mr. President, I'm willing to work with you if you're willing to help us lower costs for Americans and the cost of living. Okay, the same guy that created this problem through all of his bullshit legislation and his green legislation is telling us that Trump's got to work with him. I'll tell you, this is how you deal with Schumer. You arrest him for treason and for crimes against humanity. You strip him of his wealth, and you give the Treasury all of the money that he's laundered through all these different associations and everything else. You sell off all his assets, and you put his ass in prison. I guarantee you that will be a cost savings. You know why? Because we won't be paying a salary anymore, and he won't be able to launder money, American money, through any other, you know, operation outside of the U.S. to enrich himself. That right there will save money. You also want to save money? Completely disband and defund the FBI, DHS, the CIA, and the Capitol Police. There, you just got a cost savings, probably more than Department of Defense. And then you go through the Department of Defense and you cut every single stupid DEI and other program under the sun until you get back to lethality. And when you get back to lethality, then you'll have a military. And you get rid of every spineless bureaucratic retard that has made and forged a position for himself in the DOD or in any other agency. And guess what? You just saved money. And you do that with every defense contractor. You do that with every single agency. And guess what? You'll have like 10 people running the government. It'll be efficient. And we won't be spending oodles of money on shit that doesn't matter. And we won't be funding the DOD to censor us and then run Operation Warp Speed, because there won't be enough of them to do it. We can always hope. But that's how you save money. And any other conversation around how we need to go into a different country, sorry, we don't need to do that anymore. We did that in Afghanistan. And guess what? We left all the resources that we went in there to get to the Chinese. We left Iraq. We went in there to take the oil and pump the oil and, you know, sell the oil, keep the petrol going. Guess what? We gave it up. Iran and most of the insurgency still exist, and they're still operating unmolested. And what did we accomplish? Nothing. Killed a bunch of Americans, killed a hell of a lot of Iraqis, a hell of a lot of Afghanis. We left a bunch of Afghans there, and we accomplished nothing. I think we've proven in more than one occasion that taking over a country is not our strong suit. And gunboat diplomacy doesn't work. It never did. And we should just stop doing it. And, you know, after World War II, there was a discussion that we should occupy the countries that we liberated. And with the exception of Germany, we left every other country. And for the most part, we left the Philippines too. And the discussion was we should occupy these countries because we can control the resources. And again, it came full circle. The diplomats, the politicians, but more importantly, the statesmen, stepped up and said, that's not in our best interest strategically, economically, or culturally. And so we pulled back, which is what we should have done. And that's what we need to do now. Now is the time that we don't expand. Now is the time for contraction, rebuilding, reorganization, reconstitution, and then we can talk about that. But we need to get back to a place where we manufacture, we have a strong military, we have a strong economy, and we have accountability. And I don't see how going and invading, you know, a sovereign nation's island and then merging with another country is going to help us. It only helps the rich. And we have to kill that with a very loud, grotesque voice. And it's not going to happen if you're silent. And the other part of that too is at the state level, this is a time to be involved at the state level and make noise with your state politicians too. Because all of this is going to trickle down to the state, every bit of it. And if we aren't putting the maximum amount of pressure on the state politicians, because look, I'll just tell you about the Arizona politicians. They're all punks, all of them. They all talk a big game. They all run around running their mouths, but none of them do shit. None of them have done shit in 5 years here in Arizona to fix anything that happened in 2020. Not one of them. I don't care what their name is. I don't care what they say. None of them have done shit. And they're all blowhards. And I guarantee you put enough pressure on them from their local district or you primary them out, you'll see some results, especially now. Because what needs to happen in Arizona is they need to go through all of the election records for the last 20 years and look at all the malfeasance that's going on. Because I guarantee you they'll repeal everything that's been passed in the last 20 years because of the fact that I doubt there's been one election that has been tampered with. And when you get to when the machines were introduced and you do a forensic audit on those machines, game over. Those machines are inherently insecure. So we need to purge everybody out of the state level. And that needs to happen in Washington, Oregon, California, Massachusetts, New York. That needs to be a full-blown RICO investigation of everybody in that apparatus, everybody, down to the janitor at the state level and all those, even New Hampshire. And I mean a RICO case, because that malfeasance has gone on for decades. There hasn't been a Republican in Washington state since Christine Gregoire. That was like 24 years ago. That means that for 24 years, every election has been manipulated in Washington state. That means all those stupid regulations, all those stupid laws, all those levies, all of them can be thrown out. It should be thrown out. And if somebody does the due diligence and goes in and does a real investigation, you're going to see it. And you're going to see where they pass laws to protect themselves and to protect the cheating. And then you can roll them up for treason, election tampering, a whole bunch of other charges, which are all felonies, by the way. And there's not one of them that deserves to be in the office. That definitely not here in Arizona. Wendy Rogers, she needs to go to prison for fucking just dereliction of duty. And she needs to go to prison because she's a lying sack of shit. But that's not a crime, unfortunately. But I wish it was in her case, because she's claiming she was a war vet. She's not. Piece of shit. And that's just tip of the iceberg. And I wouldn't care about politicians, but now is a time where we need to start thinking about the path forward. We really do. We need to think about how we're going to move the ball downrange and get to the goalpost, which is a vibrant economy. We're out of debt. We have a balanced budget. We have a very small government, and we have our rights back. That is going to take a huge Herculean effort to do that. But we're all looking at right now. We're looking at what's happening in front of us. We're looking at today. We all need to be resolved, and I mean resolved, that we are not going to allow a one world government takeover of our government, or worse, a Zionist takeover of our government, if that's even who's behind the Israeli BS. Either way, we all need to be completely resolved that we're willing to fight for our country in any way, shape, or form that it demands. And right now, the demand is to raise your voice and let people know you're not going to accept these things. And they're shotgun blasting the entire population right now to see which narratives are going to stick. Your first and only answer should be the same every single time. We know it's the CIA. We're not going to buy your narrative. Go fuck yourselves. It should be every single time. Every single time there's more predictive programming, your answer should be, go fuck yourselves. This is the CIA. We're going to blame you first. Not Iran, not Hezbollah, not the Hamas. Nope, we're going to blame you. And it needs to be resounding across the country. And trust me when I say this, the more people that say that, the more people that express that, the less likely they are to do something big, because they need public support. This whole narrative around Greenland, Jesse Waters did an interview and was trying to get this guy to say, well, why do you think it's a bad thing that America and Canada would merge? I would think that would be a great thing. And he's, you know, he's Canadian. He has a very good answer. Why would I want to do that? We can trade with you. And look, there's a lot of things about Canada that are broken and wrong, but the culture's still there. And I would hate, you know, 280 years of culture to go by the wayside like, you know, a Roman invasion of old. That's really what this is. We're watching the fall of Rome. And conquest is not going to save it. Conquest didn't save it then. It's not going to save it now. And when the legions march on Rome, guess what? Game over. And we're very dangerously close to the legions marching on DC because people are that fed up with the malfeasance. They're that fed up with the criminality. And they're that fed up with the fact that we have a class of elite that are above the law, they're above accountability, and they're well protected at our expense. That doesn't sit well with any American I know. In fact, most Americans are so fed up with the fact that they have destroyed our economy through manipulation to the point where everything costs three times what it should. Americans are fed up with that. And the more people that tip over into poverty lane, and I can tell you, there's a lot of people that are one paycheck away from poverty. And if they raise prices anymore, they're going to be at poverty. And I'm telling you that when people have nothing left to lose, they will go off the reservation. And I'm surprised we haven't seen it yet. But either way, that day of reckoning is coming, and I don't think they can stop it. I think even if they wanted to, they can't stop it. We're in interesting times, and everybody's fatigued. I was talking to it was Craner the other day, and he's like, I'm tired, man. Things are coming so fast that I can't keep up with them. He's right. You step away from the news cycle for 24 hours and you get buried in it. There's going to be more of this. They're going to flood the system with garbage. Our biggest Achilles heel is that for the most part, Americans still pay attention to mainstream. And the dangerous part of that is the mainstream media is still parroting, you know, they're still off to the races parroting propaganda. You have to assume that everything you're seeing is theater. You have to assume that everything you're seeing is bullshit and is probably just noise. And the stuff you want to react to is what they're actually doing. Like this trip by Don Jr. and Charlie Kirk, I think it was, and can't remember who the third person was, going to Greenland, even if it's a photo op, it is massively inappropriate. It is strategically a blunder. And diplomatically, it's even if there's a dick waving contest between the elite, even if that's real, which I don't think it is, I think they're all in the same club. I think they're all in a big billionaire club and they're all trying to figure out how they can control the world. And, you know, Ian Burlingame, which I'm going to do a show with him on Coffee and a Mic. We're still trying to plan it, but I asked Mike to do a show with him today because his premise is, and if you haven't watched the Coffee and a Mic with Mike and Ian Burlingame, you should go watch it. He's a former Green Hat. He's a, you know, he talks about information war, but he talks about it in the, you know, the doctrinal terms, which I don't use because it just confuses people and fills my inboxes with questions I don't want to answer. So I use layman's terms, but he talks about a lot of the doctrinal terms and psychological operations that you use, because let's face it, SF guys are psychological operators. Their job is to go in and create insurgents. And you have to be, you know, expert in psychological operations, insurgency, and in weapons and counterinsurgency to be able to do that mission. So he's an expert at all those things. And his premise is that there's a bunch of factions that are fighting over control. I'm not sure I buy that. I'm not sure I buy that because, you know, we're watching the establishment or the attempt to establish a geographic economic zone. That's right out of Agenda 2030. Larry Fink is a globalist. He sits on the World Economic Forum. Same with, you know, three or four other people that are in Trump's cabinet. they sit on the World Economic Forum. They make the trip to Davos every year. You don't do that unless you're bought into the narrative, unless you're bought into the religion. And none of that bodes well for the whole faction piece of this. I don't believe that the Clintons are on the outs and this is a fight against the satanic side or the side that's the God-fearing side. I think they're all satanic. I think these people are all addicted to children. I think, and I'm making a blanket statement because I see birds of a feather. I don't see warring factions in any of this. I see a well-coordinated effort. And let me put something in front of you just so you can see which angle I'm going here. What if the last 4 years was architected on purpose? What if Trump's campaign was so effective and his first term was so effective that they realized they had to bring him back to close the deal and they had to create some kind of a churn for the rest of the country so they would buy into Trump making the changes that they need to consolidate power? Because in this election, you had three things that didn't make any sense to anybody. First of all, it was a landslide victory. When they spent 4 years in all the swing states and all the blue states institutionalizing the cheating so they could keep him out of office. And they spent 4 years telling you they were going to keep him out of office. Then, on top of that, you had a regime that did everything it could to destroy the country and create conditions that were so terrible that you wouldn't want them back. What if all that was by design so that the left, the other side of the fence that was told for 4 or 5 years that the orange man is bad, what if it was all designed to bring them back to the table and get everybody onto one page to accept all the controls that they want to put in place? And at the same time, they're architecting some kind of a narrative for a false flag attack, another 9/11 or a green flag event. What if all that was on purpose too? Because I keep coming back to the same thing. These are brilliant people. These are not stupid people. They have been playing the entire population of this planet for generations. They're not just going to go into the night and they're not bad clothes. Every single thing that we've seen has been carefully curated and carefully presented without, you know, minus the execution. The execution is where the flaws have occurred. But what if all that was by design so when Trump came back a second time, people would accept everything he put on the plate? Because look at what happened to the MAGA community. As soon as he was elected, everybody went right back to fucking sleep. And, you know, I had somebody post some shit today, and I'm never on True Social anymore. I can't stand it. It's all Trump all the time. I can't look at that shit. At least Twitter, there's some kind of, you know, disparate things with the algorithms and the AI that gives you some kind of content that you don't like. But it's all Trump all the time. Somebody posted this gematria shit with a bunch of numbers and bullshit that I don't understand. Look, I don't buy that. That whole gematria thing, I don't buy any of that shit. I think that's all contrived nonsense. The reason why I talk about numerology and astrology is because that's what our enemy uses. That's what they use to plan events. And if you look at what's happening in Los Angeles right now, it sure looks a lot like Maui. And what area did it affect? It affected Malibu and other areas. And there are some poor areas in there, but why would you burn down Malibu? I mean, if you look at the distance across that street, those winds have to be very strong to carry fire that far across the street to burn up all those homes. And it's too reminiscent of Maui to not be a, you know, to be a coincidence. It's just not a coincidence. And it's not a coincidence that I'm hearing today that they canceled insurance policies a few months ago. It sounds like it's a planned event. There's too many aspects of it that don't make sense. And when I start looking at some of these other indicators around that, some of the other messaging around it, it sure seems like this is all a planned event. And that all this noise is just to keep people distracted until they can consolidate power. And Trump's not even in office. I don't know why you would. I've never seen a candidate or an elected official prior to taking office say some of the outrageous things he said just in the last couple of weeks. Never seen that in my lifetime. And I can't stress enough that we need people in office that are, you know, I can't be a politician. I'm just not, I'm not cut out to do it. I don't have the patience for it. I don't like to, you know, shake everybody's hand and tell everybody they're wonderful and put on a persona. That's not who I am. I could never do that job. But you need people like that. But you need people like that that don't have the power these people have. Because the positions that we've established over the last 70 years have given people way too much power, and it attracts sociopaths, which is exactly why we have an entire Congress full of sociopaths. It's why the UK has entire classes of sociopaths that have been enticed to run for office. That's not what we need. We need people that are focused. And this goes all the way back to, you know, 1800s. If you watch Hell on Wheels, which is a series about building the rail lines across the U.S., if you go watch that, you see that malfeasance all the way back in the 1800s. Senators trying to enrich themselves by, you know, voting for things that helped the railroads and helped, you know, other institutions as they were built throughout history. That's never going to go away. That level of malfeasance is never going to go away. But you, if you balance that out with people who are there, truly there for selfless service, I guarantee you that government will run the way it's supposed to. But the key to all of it is you have to restrict their ability to do things, or restrict their power. Once you do that, then it really will be people who want to serve. And I think it should be compulsory. I think everybody should be forced to serve the government in some way, shape, or form. So, number one, you understand how government works. Number two, you do your time. Number three, you come from a background where you've actually worked for someone, or you've owned your own company, and you can go back to it and can bring those lessons to government and make common sense decisions that support the rest of the population as the country evolves and as technology evolves. Where we went astray is we made it volunteer, and then we added super PACs and big money and the ability for somebody to own a politician outright, and that took away the basis of selfless service and turned it into a pay for play, which is what we see now. The only way we get out of that, the only way that we get back to a place where there's integrity in the office, is put guys like Doug McGregor in. He's a politician. He's an adult. He served his country. He knows, he's well-spoken. And yeah, do I agree with everything he said about Ukraine or the Russian side? No, but it doesn't matter. I don't have to agree with his politics. I don't have to agree with his opinion, just like you don't have to agree with mine. The point is, he's an adult. And he understands diplomacy. He understands that diplomacy is messy and it takes time and it's frustrating. But sometimes diplomacy is the best path. We go right from, hey, we tried diplomacy, so now we're gonna drop bombs on you. We have to get away from that. We have to do things for a moral reason. And we have gotten so far away from that now that we've forgotten what our moral compass was. And we need to get back to being the beacon of freedom and the beacon of diplomacy and the beacon of morality for the rest of the planet. We're the backstop for all of this. And if we don't grow some resolve and unity very, very quickly and push back on all these things that they're putting in front of us, we're going to lose our country. It's that simple. There's no ifs, there's no ands, there's no buts. They are actively trying to consolidate power. We have to push back against that. And if you sit by and don't say anything and don't put your voice out there, I guarantee you, they will embolden them to continue what they're doing. The reason why they haven't done the big attack is because nobody's bought into the narrative. And it's unwound almost as fast as it occurs. We have to keep that pace. We have to keep on them. We have to continue to keep the fucking thumbs on these guys until one of two things happens. Either they capitulate or the system crashes. There's no in between. There's no going back to the way things were. There's no pre-COVID. Those days are fucking gone. They destroyed that way back in 9/11. They destroyed normal. They destroyed what freedom really was. And I would say even farther back than that. And now we have to educate younger generations on what freedom really means. What does it really mean when we talk about illegal search and seizure? What does it really mean to have free speech? What does it really mean to have the right of privacy, the right to a fair trial? What does that really mean? I could tell you that most of the Gen Z and Gen X, they don't know what the fuck you're talking about because they post everything online. They have no idea what you're talking about. We have to teach them that and instill that before all of us leave this planet. And if that's the one thing you do before you leave, you teach kids in your community what real freedom's all about, then guess what? You've done something positive for society. But that's where we have to start turning our focus to, the path forward. Because we have forgotten, and we're continuing to focus on the things that don't matter. What matters is, what do we want this country to look like on the other side? Trump's not going to get us there. Sorry. Not going to save us, not going to get us there. We have to do it ourselves. We have to guide this ship. You know, in the Navy, they call it rudder orders. They give the ship rudder orders to keep it on a general path. And, you know, winds, current, etc. The ship gets off course, just like an airplane does in the wind. You have to give it general course corrections to keep it on a heading. We have to do the same thing. Okay, Trump came to office. You don't give up and you don't rest on your laurels. You stay on the guy because you put in there with a mandate to do what's right for the American people. Not what's right for Israel. Not what's right for the defense industrial complex. Not what's right for the mob families. What's right for the American people, even if it's hard, even if it costs you your life. You took the oath. And when you take the oath, even if it costs you your life or the life of a family member, guess what? You took the oath. All of us took the oath that we're in the military. All of us have a moral obligation to defend the Constitution, even if it means our life. Because our way of life is way bigger than our egos or our small contribution. We have a moral obligation to stand up against this. Jack Cruz was right. Absolutely right. First order of business, arrest everyone. Leave the janitor. They didn't do anything other than sweep the floor. But everybody else goes to Gitmo. All this horse shit about these guys are good, I'll make a deal over it. Fuck you. Get the memo, Trump. You put Cash Patel in the FBI director position. We want to see people perp walked. We want to see politicians perp walked. We want to see Nancy Pelosi perp walked. And we will not accept anything else, ever. Accountability or you go too. That's the bottom line. And there is nothing else that we will accept except full accountability for January 6th and everything in between, especially the invasion. Every one of these politicians that served between 2019 and 2025, every single one of them was complicit in the invasion of our country. That is treason. You don't get to point the finger. You don't get to say we couldn't get it through either a bill or an omnibus. No, you were all complicit. You all go to Gitmo. That's how this goes. There is no other substitutes. Get the fucking memo. I don't want to hear about Greenland. I don't want to hear about Canada. I want you to end the war in Ukraine. I want you to arrest Anthony Fauci, Bill Gates, and I want you to put kill orders out on every one of the pharmaceutical executives. And then I want you to name AIPAC as a foreign organization and a foreign lobby. And then I want you to label the American Medical Association as a fucking terrorist organization. And then I want you to arrest everybody in Congress, all the way back to Paul Ryan, and try them all for treason in a very public forum. That's what America wants. Not this nonsense of, we'll hang Obama. Oh, that guy needs a very public trial where you show the world everything that he did, and you show the world who was behind him, who was his handler, who owned him, and who manipulated him. If that's Muslim Brotherhood, bombs on their head. If that's Israel, bombs on their head. If that's China, bombs on their head. That is an act of war. just like interfering in our elections. There is no pass for this anymore. There's no forgiveness. There's no consolidation. There's no conciliatory actions. Nope, they go to prison. That was the mandate we sent him to office with. That's what Americans wanted. Because in November, Americans were pissed off. And they're still pissed off. It's just they're flooding the system to keep you completely distracted from those facts. That's what we sent him there to do. We didn't send him there to go liberate fucking Canada or liberate Greenland. That's not what he sent. That's not what we sent him for. That's not why we all went out and voted and didn't pick up rifles. We were ready to pick up rifles. Everybody in this country was ready to pick up a rifle before November 5th. Don't tell me you weren't. You all were, because I was. I was ready to be an insurgent. I was ready to lead the insurgency. And if they go down the path I think they're going down, I will lead the insurgency, because I am not going to live under a global government. I am not going to be told I have to take a vaccine when some shitbag like Bill Gates makes money off of it and I see permanent injuries to people I care about. I'll never sign up for that, and neither should you. So all this nonsense about Canada, knock it the fuck off. We didn't send you there for that. And I'm not sending you there so you can enrich your buddies and give tax breaks to your buddies. You can tell Jeff Bezos and Mark Zuckerberg to go fuck themselves. In fact, I think it's brilliant that Zuckerberg's talking about he's going to roll back the whole fact-checking. Yeah, sure you are. I should remind everybody that the Atlantic Council is behind all of the censorship. They're the ones that dictated that the CEO and the creator of Telegram was put in prison until he capitulated, because they want control of the narrative. And they are going to do whatever they can to try and control the narrative. It is not Mark Zuckerberg that did this. He was complicit in this. He made money off of it. But he, like Sergey Brin and all the rest of the shitheads at Google, they're all CIA assets. And so is Elon Musk, as far as I'm concerned, because he hasn't outed, doxed, or fired anybody, to my knowledge, that was from the FBI or CIA that's on the payroll of Twitter. So as far as I'm concerned, until you do that, you're a fucking asset, and you can shut the fuck up. Until those pieces change, until they are the intelligence apparatus is out of social media, and the Atlantic Council is no more, and they have no voice, CIA assets, period, end of story. And Trump needs to, you need to talk, stop talking about warp speed. Nobody wants to hear you talk about warp speed. You need to ban the mRNA virus vaccines in total. Full stop. Day one. Full stop. Sign the executive order. No more mRNA vaccines until they can prove with peer-rated studies that they are safe and effective, and there's a, you know, less than a 0.00001% fatality rate or casualty rate. Guess what? They don't go in the market. But I don't see that happening. So until then, you need to make your voice heard, and you need to make sure every single time he says something stupid, you hammer him. And I mean, you hammer him hard. I am out of patience with this, and you should be too. We haven't even got to January 20th, and we have this whole Carter spectacle, which I know is going to be a shit show as soon as that's done. Then we have this fire down in LA, we have the attacks already, and now he's talking about liberating two other countries. None of that bodes well. You should be frustrated with that. He should be talking about what he's going to do on his first day, and what he's going to do on his second day, and what he's going to do to his 100th day. That's what normal presidents would come in and do, and then go do that. And stop talking about invading other countries. And oh, by the way, follow through on what you committed to and end the war in Ukraine. It's about time that comes to an end. We'll see what he does, but I don't think he's going to do anything. I think it's all just noise and smoke and mirrors. But I could be pleasantly surprised. I hope I am, because I would love to see and have a lot of optimistic and hopeful things happen in the next few weeks. But the way it's going, I'm not seeing that. And yeah, just take that for what it is. But I've spent most tonight talking to Trump, because I know his people are listening. And look, let me just say this out loud, because I know you're going to hear this too. I don't give a fuck if I get a seat at the table. That's not why I'm doing this. I want to see our country restored, and I want to see the criminality and the malfeasance out of our government. And I want our government to have none of the powers it has now. Why would you agree to give the FBI a bigger building when they've spent 5 years attacking the American public? Why would you allow the media to go after the military and separate the military from the American people? Why would you allow MSNBC to say the biggest problem is the U.S. Army domestically? That's sedition. That's reckless. And that is propaganda. We need to do something about that, Mr. President. So if you want to talk about something, talk about that. Stop talking about Greenland. Stop talking about warp speed and all the other stupidity that comes out of your mouth, and start talking about the things that matter. And the things that matter is, how are you going to bring back industry? What are you going to do to fix critical infrastructure? What are you going to do to harden our networks? What are you going to do to deal with the January 6th treason? What are you going to do with Judas Pence? We want some answers. And we're entitled to some answers from you. And I don't want to hear about Israel. I don't give two shits about Israel. I don't give two shits about Gaza. If anybody cared about Gaza, they would have done something a year ago. So don't talk to me about Gaza or hostages. I don't give a shit. That might sound cruel, but guess what? Israel's had 12 months to solve that problem. And all they've done is continue to make that problem worse and expand the conflict. So guess what? I don't give a fuck about them. I don't want to see one American on any Middle East soil until you solve the problems here and close the border. That's what I want to see. And if you can't do that, resign and fuck off. And we'll get somebody that can or will. That's what I want to see in here. And that's the end of that. Full stop. Focus on America. Then you can focus on everything else and build your whole, your legacy and all that other bullshit that nobody gives a shit about. Build a big statue to yourself. Jerk off to it every day. I don't care what you do. But don't come to me and tell me that Hezbollah was on January 6th. That's a bunch of shit. Don't tell me that we're going to go and bomb, you know, Gaza or southern Lebanon because Israel tells us to. Guess what? Go fight your own fucking war and fuck off. We've done enough wars for you. We did. You got Iraq out of us. We helped you take over Syria. We destroyed Ethiopia. We destroyed Somalia. We destroyed Libya. And now we've destabilized Egypt and installed another, you know, military government. You should be good for at least 20 or 30 more years. Go build your fences and your bullshit, but then you could fuck off. We should all be there. I don't know why people are, and this whole victimization shit. These guys have been bombing innocent people for the better part of 12 months, and everybody's clamoring about how Israel's a victim. I'm sorry. I draw the line when you're killing innocent women and children. That's exactly what's been going on, genocide. And we're worried about hostages that Netanyahu allowed to have taken in the first place. They allowed that to happen. They allowed everything on October 7th to happen. They facilitated that attack. They did it knowingly, because you don't move a fucking grain of sand in Gaza or the West Bank and they don't know about it. Everything outside of that is a lie. That is probably one of the most secure open-air prisons on the planet. And you're telling me that they flew out these gliders, they took a bunch of hostages, took them back into Gaza, and they don't know where they're at. Really? And they're the victims. Get the fuck out of here with that. We need to focus on what's going on here in our own country. We have 42 million military-age males that have been exported into this country over the last 4 years. And you want to talk about hostages in fucking Israel? Wake the fuck up. We have people here we need to throw out. We need to secure our border. We need to fix our crumbling infrastructure. We need to stop sending money over to Israel to fight a war that we don't care about. We have no strategic interest in that. And you can make the whole Christianity and Jerusalem and all these holy places. They chose to widen the war. Hezbollah and Iran both tried to negotiate with them to keep the conflict isolated. And Israel was the one that pushed the button, not the rest of them. So if you're gonna complain about hostages or all this other horse shit, you need to go look at what's going on in our own fucking backyard. Because I guarantee you, if these 42 million pick up arms, you're going to have a whole set of problems that you never anticipated. And this place has been armed to the teeth over the last 4 years to support all these illegals. You think all these Chinese coming in through the Darien Gap, do you think any of them came up here without a plan? You don't think that the CCP has got arms in this country? They have been importing arms for the last 20 or 30 years. There are arms all over this place. And 42 million military age males can do a hell of a lot of damage in a very short period of time. But go ahead, worry about American hostages over in Gaza that the Israelis have basically ignored for 12 to 15 months. Go ahead and worry about that. That's way more important. Don't worry about any of the vaccine injuries or the deaths that have occurred from the vaccines that are still on the market, still being pushed. That's not important. Israel's the victim. We have to make sure we support them. You see how ludicrous that sounds? It sounds completely ludicrous. That's the effect of the noise. That's the effect of the information operations campaign. Forget about all the stuff in front of you, but go support Israel because they're the victim. The fuck out of here. This announcement today by both Ted Cruz and by Trump about Hezbollah on January 6th, they're owned by AIPAC, they're owned by the Zionists, they're owned by Israel. Just call it what it is. Stop beating around the bush. That's the most irresponsible thing I've ever heard. Unless he's got credible intel and credible information. But given the way the FBI has acted over the last 4 years towards American citizens, I don't buy a word of that. And I hope nobody else does either. Because that is all narrative as far as I'm concerned. All right, enough of that. Enough talking to Trump. He just makes my blood boil. Can you tell? Just like people going after Sam, that made my blood boil too. All right, so what I do want to show everybody is I want to do a soft launch of the Path Forward. Because I've been asked about it several times, so I'm going to do the intro done, and thanks Vasilius for putting that together. He's a rock star; he put this together for me, so we can launch it. I'm not sure yet when I'm going to be able to launch the new channel, mainly because I could barely keep up with this channel and all the things that are happening right now. But let me. There it is. So without further ado, this is the Path Forward, the intro. No, it doesn't want to play it. That's awesome. Let me see if I can get it to play. Try this one more time. It might be too big. It's pretty big. Yeah, it's too big. I'll save for another time. See if I could put it up. In the next week or so, so you can view it. But yeah, intro's done. We've got part of that done and trying to build a bullpen of shows out of just this. So yeah, my apologies. I didn't think it was. I thought it was going to play, but oh well. We'll be back tomorrow night. I'll be back tomorrow night with the roundtable. Probably a few others. I know a lot of people like Seth. Seth's agreed to come back on. I'm trying to keep that strictly to lieutenant colonels and just keep it a colonel roundtable. But I'll make exceptions as situation warrants. The piece that folks should realize is that time frame will be moving around. Just like this will be moving around. It is what it is. I'm working with other people's schedules. So we should be on 8 o'clock Eastern tomorrow, 6 o'clock, 5 o'clock Pacific, but more to follow on that. Oh, we'll be on tomorrow night. The music I played at the start was Supertramp Dreamer, which is a perfect, I think it was a perfect song for today, given the whole, you know, dreaming of merging with Canada and Greenland. I think it's a dream, pipe dream. That's what I really think it is. Anyway, I'll be back tomorrow night. Respond, respond, respond. Don't leave anything unanswered, especially now. Let your voice be heard and use all of social media. Trump is on True Social and he's on Twitter. Make sure you make him hear you, especially with things you don't like. And now more than ever, because once he gets in office, he'll have minions banning his account. We need to keep his attention until he takes the oath and takes the office and assume that nothing's going to happen until then, which I would hope it doesn't. Stay in the fight. Keep your eyes on. Be ready for anything. God bless. One team, one fight.